Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome back to another Sunday night on AfterBuzz TV. This is the Walking Dead After Show, and I am your host, Ben Bateman, joined by a wonderful panel of co-hosts. We've got a varied panel today. Bunch of people. I got John Carl on my left.
Hey, how's it going?
Where can the folks find you, John?
Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
Excellent. Yep. We have Quinn Skillion. Welcome back to the panel.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, good to see you. Where can the folks find you?
At Quinn Skillion on Twitter.
And if you missed him, Stephen Lemieux is back on the panel. He actually predates my time on the panel.
Yeah, it's you wouldn't have missed me, yeah. But no, you can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, S-T-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-E-U-X, and check out all the content we're doing over at my network, The Popcorn Talk.
Yes,
it's in good. Which Ben also his does network. Some stuff.
Yes, he
hear that? It's John, I couldn't hear you because your mic's about 3 feet away from your mouth. Can you?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I have to handle the chat room tonight,
too. Oh, okay.
Too.
Yeah.
The good thing about having the producer right here.
Yes. A little bit.
It's where I could get yelled at.
Yes, Stephen, you and I created a show together, but I don't know if I've ever been on a panel with you before. I think this might be the first time it's ever happened.
This might be the first time, and, you know, what better show than The Walking Dead?
What better show and what better episode, right, than a letdown episode after a gigantic climax episode?
People are going to be talking about this episode as one of... A lot of people are going to think this is one of the best of the season.
This one?
This one.
That we just watched.
That we just watched.
Why do you... Well, let's save our thoughts on that.
It's okay. I will agree. It's going to be one of the most talked about episodes. Yes, no doubt on that.
Definitely.
Yes. I guess because there's one bomb to drop. But...
Would we call it a polarizing episode? Do you think people are going to love it or hate it?
No. I mean, I think, you know, it's not like one of the past episodes that shall not be named where...
He's talking about Clear, right? It was just called Clear?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna say it because...
I'm just going to drink this really quick.
When I watch the first episode of the first season, I watch it because I love the introduction to Rick, and I love that character.
Right.
When I watch this episode, it's the introduction to Jesus, and I love that character, and I think it's one that I will watch just for that.
Yeah, 100%. Fair. So let's hold off on the Jesus breakdown, because we will break him down before we get into it.
You can't even break him down. You can't even touch him.
It's good to see him in the show, but let's talk about iTunes. We're on there. We do an audio and video version of this podcast, and you guys should rate, subscribe, review, all of that, comment. It helps us stay high in the ratings and lets us do the show, which is provided for free, and we can continue to do it for free. You guys help us keep the lights on because we can't do the show in the dark. Aside from that, we are all on Twitter, so obviously follow the... We don't have a hashtag for the episode anymore, do we?
No. Nope.
Just tweet at John.
Go into the actual chat room live on YouTube. That's what I'm in right now.
Got it. Okay.
The YouTube chat room.
So John will answer your questions, and maybe we'll do a couple shout-outs at the end of the episode with fan questions if you guys want to get on there. So let's get into the episode. This was episode 10 of season 6, episode, I guess, 2 of the second half of the season, titled The Next World, directed by Carrie Skogland. Who is, she's like a vet of the show. She's directed Fear the Walking Dead and like pretty much everything on TV you could possibly imagine. Like all of the best Emmy winning shows.
Interesting that she did Fear the Walking Dead because I had some thoughts about this episode particular in relating to Fear the Walking Dead.
Hmm. Please share before we just break into the episode.
Well, I would just say that, you know, after we had such a huge episode last week, and so this episode everything was calming down, threats were at bay,
right.
That's why we kind of saw stuff like Enid and Carl, teen angst, and
right.
That was something that I kind of struggled with a little bit with Fear the Walking Dead, is trying to buy into their drama when you know in the back of your head, it's like, why does any of this matter? We have a big problem over here.
Yeah, this is the first month of, you know, almost 2 years of time spent on this show. It's like, nobody cares about Fear the Walking Dead.
I think it's before
Rick is even awake.
I think they made a smart move, though, having a calm episode. I mean, we see this every season. There's an amazing, amazing episode, and then the next episode is like, it's okay, but then you, like, break it down. you like it more and more. Yeah. This one's smart because they skip forward 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
If they didn't skip forward 2 weeks, I wouldn't have liked it because, like, you would have been just dealing with Carl recuperating and dealing with all this worry. Like,
clearing out the
bodies. And, like, having to, like, clear the bodies. Yeah, I'm so happy we got to skip that.
It would have been a maintenance episode, essentially.
Yeah. So let's skip ahead. Let's be present at the next step of this journey instead of having to worry about, okay, let's catch up with characters while they're recuperating. I'm not into that.
It's interesting because I almost feel like this would be the episode where it's like, gotta find a new place to go now. Prison's gone, you know?
Usually it would, you'd think.
And now we're still here at Alexandria, which kind of breaks the pattern a little.
Well, the whole first half of the season was building up, should we fight for this place? Right. Should Rick leave? Should they stay there? And with Deanne's character, her push was, this is what Alexandria can become.
Mm-hmm.
And what finally broke through to Rick was when the people fought back, it's a community. It's not just his group and their group. It's a community fighting back.
Right.
And now we know that Alexandria can become what Deanna always wanted it to be.
And it's not a us and them anymore, you know, as it was for so long.
Yeah, fully. So, I mean, The letdown episode, I guess, is inevitable. It's nice that, as you said, we didn't dwell on Carl getting better. It's the same thing that they did in the episode we didn't want to talk about, which is a giant monumental thing. They don't show us the immediate aftermath. They shift focus. And I guess it's from a storytelling standpoint, all it's trying to do is not... They just... See, it works sometimes, I think other times it doesn't. Because, like, when they jumped forward and we never saw Rick get out of that camper, which I talk about constantly, which is frustrating to me, that he's just running back.
And we are now, at this point, never going
never
back
gonna to find
it.
Out. Nope. So sometimes, like, and from a storytelling standpoint, maybe they're just like, I don't know what the point...
Sorry, what was that?
In the same episode that Glenn dies, quotations if you're on audio, the episode ends with Rick in that camper getting shot at by the wolves and cutting his hand, and Glenn is dead, apparently. And then instead of showing how Rick gets away from the swarm of zombies that surrounded the camper with his cut hand when he has the baby food, you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He just, they never explain it.
He just was all of a sudden back at,
there's a dramatic shot of him running slow-mo through the street getting back in Alexandria. But, like, he's literally getting surrounded by, like, 100 walkers. So they just skipped it. They just never explained it. And because it was in the same episode as the Glenn thing, and so I think it's the shift focus thing.
I have such mixed feelings about that because I kind of, on one hand, love the idea that he's kind of a superhero,
right?
You know, and that he just kind of gets out of those situations. On the other hand, it makes it kind of hard to care because you always start thinking there's never going to be a repercussion. He's always going to be okay.
They don't have to explain stuff.
Yeah,
let's jump into Jesus, because that's what you mentioned it already, Stephen. Like, this is going to be the introduction of a character that very much matters to this show. And from the point of view of, even if you don't know anything about the story, the history of the comics, anything, he's obviously a relevant character. He's kind of a badass. He was able to, like, kind of take down Rick and Daryl pretty quickly, which we don't actually see guys. But he's kind of an anti-hero because he seems sort of nice. We are supposed to maybe like him. So he might actually become, like, a good part of the pack. What do you guys think
about this introduction? Also, really, really good pickpocket, because all he did was bump into Rick really quickly. That was, like... It reminded me of the scene out of Ocean's 11 when they were recruiting Matt Damon's character. Quick bump into somebody, and he got what he wanted. He got in there and out. I was like, okay, this guy's... He's kind of a badass in that way. Yeah. It's a different kind of badass than Daryl.
What you got to realize about Jesus, and I'm only talking about the show here just so you guys know, I'm not going to do any comic spoilers or anything like that, is the fact of the matter is from the moment of bumping into Rick to walking away and then getting the van, everything was planned out. It was all within his mind. He had lit the firecrackers before he even bumped into Rick.
Right.
So that's something you have to kind of take for granted, is the fact that this is a guy who can plan so many steps ahead.
Yeah.
So the fact that he doesn't have a gun is not surprising, because he's confident in his ability to escape any situation. So what that means is... We don't know where the show's going to take it, because the show has stuck with the comics, veered from the comics, got Carl shot, which I was surprised they went with, which is great, and I'm glad that we didn't get a whole another Herschel thing where it's like, let's put him in a bed, bedridden for a long time. Now, I think it'd be really interesting to not know anything about this character, because I'm going to assume that they're not going to go anywhere near the comics with this character.
I agree with you. I think that at this point, we kind of, even the new characters, we really knew what to expect. All the new characters that were coming in, they kind of develop their story, and, like, we get to know them a little bit, and then that's just, we get it. We know exactly what we're getting. With this guy, I'm not a comic book reader.
Yeah.
Seeing already what's going on, I mean, I think he's going to really keep everyone on their toes, and I'm really excited about that, because now, especially, like, with the walkers being a threat that we're very used to at this point, it's kind of nice to have something that you really have no idea, you know, how he's going to behave at all.
I'm going
to
say this as a comic book reader, I don't know what side he's on.
Well, they've been doing such an interesting job recently of really like playing to that audience that mm-hmm. now is sort of the perfect time to pull the rug on us. And we were talking about this last week. So much of the stuff shot for shot has become predictable from that source material that now you wonder, maybe this character, they just liked him. They're gonna name him the same name, put him in the same situation, but just complete veer. And it wouldn't bother me at all. I mean, I like where the story's going, and I like the casting. The casting's great.
I disagree.
You didn't like
it? I did not like the casting. Thomas Paine, he's a great actor. Love him, and I think he's gonna do a good job with this character.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of the casting, and that's only because I'm a comic book fan.
Sure.
If I wasn't, I probably wouldn't care. It's just with the Governor and now Jesus, like, they take the two characters that are the most Danny Trejo characters and put, like, two white guys in the roles.
I was
going to
say, he was whitewashed a
little. Yeah, I'm like, okay, but, like, you could really have a great, I mean, I'm not even trying to get in the race thing, like, but just a great Hispanic role in this character with a guy who looks just like the comics.
And sure.
I mean, I was excited for, like, a casting of that because I was really interested in who they were.
I mean, his name is Jesus. Like, let's go.
Yeah, well,
his name is Paul.
Yeah, Paul Monroe. I mean,
Paul Monroe, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so
let me ask you guys then, when they find the truck with all the food in it and the soda and all that, right, you're like, oh, this is a huge boon. Did you feel like they were maybe a little bit less upset about that when the truck went down? Like, that was potentially life-changing.
I'd have dived in, right on in.
Yeah. They were very indifferent to it, and then, you know, they start driving off, and I still have a huge problem with this because resources are so scarce.
Yeah.
They left the other car there. The car that was the obvious docked product placement. Yeah. but they just left it there. And it's like, why wouldn't they drive one person in one car, one person in the other? That actually seemed, of everything in this episode, just very out of character for me.
What didn't make sense to me is the truck was so full of supplies that it seemed like a gift horse. It seemed way too convenient for me. Mm-hmm. Whether that was planted there by Jesus or not, I don't know. I mean, this could have, like, literally having that truck there could have been completely part of his plan.
Yeah.
He's just there. It could have just been a trap.
It's
like, you never know, but it just doesn't make sense that they wouldn't immediately just take that truck back to camp. It's already pretty much full. You're not going to find much more stuff to put in it.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to risk getting it stolen after the second time? Mm-hmm. Like,
you
when it is stolen.
Why did they decide to track the guy?
Or? No, like, why? Okay, they've already gotten the truck back after losing it once.
Right.
Yeah.
Hedge your bets. Get it back to camp right then. Why are you driving off to another farm?
No, because they heard him thumping on the roof.
No, but they were on their way to another location at that point. Yeah.
Plus, they were already going off-road in a freaking truck like that. Like, why would you do that? Like, you're risking just getting it stuck in the mud. Like, I don't know. That felt a little, like, suspect. Yeah.
I'll give you that I think the plotting in this episode from that point of view was a little bit loose, but I still am happy with Jesus as a character in the show. I personally like the casting. I was totally with you, Quinn. Your clothes are always filthy. You've been running all day. You guys can apparently run at a dead sprint, like, the same rate as Jason Bourne here, but in, like, 5 minutes without getting tired kind of a thing. I mean, they were, like, drenched, stopped, and just, like, and they're running in cowboy boots, like, but, or at least Rick is, I think. So when the truck is going down, it's like, I'm totally with you. Why is one of them not just jumping in the water, trying to at least get one box out of there? I mean, there was so much valuable stuff that's so hard to find. That's the only reason they left, is we needed supplies. And you're watching this whole case of toothpaste go down. They needed that case of toothpaste.
Yeah. I mean, they also had an out, too, because when they did the dead stop of the truck, and I literally said it out loud right before I did it. I'm like, just slam on the brakes right now. He falls off the front. Just back up and go. Like, he's...
Yeah.
No matter, like, how fast this guy can run, he's not going to be able to follow them all the way back.
And get back on top of the truck, which another one of these, like, not explained plot points. How did he get out of the ropes quickly enough to follow the truck and get on top of the truck?
You know what would be really interesting, and it would give me really great faith in the writers, is the truck is a plant there now. The truck is a writing device for later. I mean, when we first meet the guy who says all your stuff belongs to Negan, like, we don't know if they're going to take any stuff from them.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they're going to need stuff later. So you're always, like, a season from now, or even 8 episodes, whatever it is, we don't have enough food for all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, remember that truck? Why don't we go tow it out?
Yeah, and all of the now ruined things in the back of it.
It seemed like toothpaste. It seemed like it seemed like a stock as opposed to sorghum. It seemed like somebody stocked this stuff. So, heaven forbid it's individually wrapped stuff. It's still more than what they would have had.
Yeah.
So I feel like Negan can't take that if he doesn't know about it. If that's all ruined goods in his mind, I mean, that's a cool plant there for later.
Sure, yeah, and they can definitely go back to it. So let's jump forward, because obviously Negan will, or not Negan, sorry, Jesus will be in the show. He will be somebody who will come up in the next episode, and we can maybe talk a little bit about them getting him back to camp and so sort of how the episode ended. But before we get there, I want to talk about the zombie that used to be Deanna and Spencer and Michonne and this whole plot line in the woods here. So they're continually trying to make Spencer a character that we don't all just dislike, which for me personally is not working. Aside from
the entire time Spencer was on, every single time you get, oh, here we go back to this guy. Like he's like, I think he's, they're trying really hard to make us, to make him really important to us. And he seems like to me just as important as like that one guy with the braids. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're all pretty much there.
I mean, he's handsome. I'll give him that. He's definitely handsome.
Good looking dude.
He's a shit weasel though. He's like, you know that he's never going to be totally on your side. Shit weasel, by definition, as a, that's like a plot device where it's like the guy that betrays the president in Air Force One or people like that. That's
let's cool it on the S word.
Okay, my fault.
But yeah, he's just a weasel.
I mean, we're only matching the amount of times that they said it in the show.
True.
Yeah.
An S weasel. Remember when he was like crawling over that thing and that was like so important and everyone's like, no, save him. And it's like, no, don't.
Right. He's not long for the world. I can't imagine he's going to. Yeah.
I imagine his character is going to be a lot better soon.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think we wouldn't be spending time with this character unless, A, they want us to care about him before they kill him, or two, they're trying to show us growth in his character, because from before to now, he's grown a lot. Mm-hmm. From when we're introduced to him to now, he's grown a lot.
Yeah.
I think by the end of the season, he could grow some more and actually be a pretty vital member of the team.
Or
the,
he could be somebody that just is the one that turns on them in a vital point of time.
I don't see his character being that one. I think he's already, he's already failed at that one part, and I think that's what spurred his growth. And I think what we're getting is he's a character that, if you're going to go back to season one, he could literally have fit in perfectly with any member of the team. They were all kind of like that. So
I still have the feeling when he's on screen that he's too much of an outsider to last. I would go with the former, that they're just giving him screen time before they kill him. But I don't know. I mean, he hasn't shown us any specific like direction in the plot that I would guess he's going to die. At least not for a while.
I think that's, I agree. Like, I don't really understand his point of view on anything.
Yeah.
I have no idea how he feels. And then he runs off today and has like a little, you know, meltdown. And it just felt like, I don't know what kind of character he was, but it just was like, I didn't buy it.
Do you think that's a meltdown? I don't think that was a meltdown. I think that was, I think that was strength, honestly. And, you know, you guys can cringe all you want at me, but at the same time, you know, you look at this guy, he's lost every member of his family, and all he wants to do is make sure they're at rest. So he goes out in the woods alone because he saw his mother walking around, and just like Carl had to put down Laurie, he needed to put down his old mother for his closure, and I think that will be the strength that makes him able to grow forward.
Then maybe what I was missing was more scenes with him and his mother.
Yeah, I think that's a good point where we could have gotten more of a connection.
We had a couple good scenes. The one scene where he's drunk, she finds him and he's stolen the bread, which was actually a strong scene because I liked the ambiguity morally that he gave his character. That's early in the season. But I had a problem with the fact that Deanna was like, she was just like someone who had died and not been touched, because two things. The last time we see her is when she's like screaming. She's like, right?
And she's on the second floor of a building.
Being approached by a swarm of walkers as the only like healthy person. Now, she was still alive enough that I feel like they would have at least torn her apart somewhat.
Yes.
And she is fully together. There's not even a piece of her face torn. Nope. So she managed to get only like not ignored by the walkers. Maybe she was almost dead enough that they just ignored her. But then get up, walk away, get down the stairs, and get out of town without getting killed by the gigantic swarm of Alexandrians that killed every zombie in sight.
Or that's actually getting mentioned in the chat right now.
Yeah.
Libra Doll was like, yeah, how'd she get past the walkers and not get eaten? And I agree 100%. Like, she was too well made up.
That made no sense to me. But
yeah, I agree with that.
Maybe that was probably, I mean, I would just give that an artistic direction oversight. I don't think that, like, I don't have like a story. I don't have too much of a story problem with it as much as like
it's artistic stuff. It's one of those things where if you didn't see her get her head smashed in before, then you could say technically she could still be walking around. I think we got what is Spencer's backstory? Was he a soldier? He was in the army or something?
I think they loosely talk about it, but only for like a second. We don't get like a lot of
They loosely talked about it, but Deanne's character made Michonne firmly believe in herself again.
Yeah, right.
And then the last note she left her son was, you know who you are.
Right.
You know what to do.
Because I don't know. So it's good he knows, because I have no idea.
Yeah, so I don't know. I have hopes for the character. I think you may eat your words in 4 or 5 episodes.
You could be right. You could absolutely be right.
Hang around because he's just so good looking.
He's very handsome, yeah. And they make, you know, as I said, in S Weasel, they made a handsome character then to somebody who's morally deplorable in some cases, who's maybe kind of coming around.
I'm looking for some romance on the show because of what happened today. I'm like, finally.
The moment you like him, they'll kill him.
Craving a little bit of romance. I'm like, give him a girlfriend.
We're not quite Game of Thrones. We're almost there. I did want to point something out just because last week I noticed this in the comments. We were talking about Greg Nicotero last week and his role in the show and the fact that he was in charge of a lot of makeup stuff before now he's directing more episodes. And somebody criticized actually in the comments that we were going over it as if we had just found him online and like we're reading about him. And what I wanted to say was to anybody listening, and especially if this is your first time listening on audio, thank you and welcome to the show. But we do part of the backstory on this show every week as if it's your first time listening, because you may have just found AfterBuzz TV. And so it should be pointed out that we will sometimes go over story points of characters and or background of creators, because not everybody knows everything. So it's good to remind it sometimes. And I just wanted to
Not everyone's John Carl.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're kind of obsessed with the show, but not
just
everybody's
a little bit.
That
just
obsessed.
Tiny bit.
Yeah. So with that being said,
I just
in
can't
the
see
woods,
the giant Walking Dead tattoo on my back. It's fine.
Do you really have
one? No. You got that done over the Sons of Anarchy tattoo?
You're right.
It's over the Game of Thrones one.
Oh, okay.
It's a big Joffrey tattoo.
Cool. I'm glad you covered up that My Little Pony tattoo. It's great.
Had to do something.
So yeah, Michonne and Rick. Is
no,
that
no? I want to get there. I want to end on that. I know.
Well, we have other stuff. We have to hit first.
Yeah, exactly.
I know we want to hit Maggie and Enid briefly too.
Yeah. So Enid's in the woods with Carl when this whole thing with Spencer and Deanna happens, and just prior to that, we have an interaction between Lauren Cohen, whom I love, and Enid, where she's
who we don't love.
Yeah,
Enid. I like Enid.
She's fine. Yeah, they're. Whatever.
I don't.
You like, hate all the characters I like.
I don't love the acting with Enid. I'm having a little bit of trouble with the actress.
Yeah.
Because I actually think the part's kind of sweet.
Yeah. She's okay. She's coming around. I'm trying to figure out what the relationship between Maggie and Glenn and Enid is going to be going forward. That seems to be something that they're giving us. They're spoon feeding it to us a little bit.
Do you guys think it's weird that we haven't had a real Maggie and Glenn reunion yet?
Like a real...
Yeah, we haven't seen the two characters together. Like... Oh my God, I've missed you so much.
Like,
even though he
dumpster,
went away for a long time, yeah.
We really haven't seen their little reconciliation.
Well, the 2 weeks. Remember, we jumped 2 weeks, so that was that obviously happened.
Yeah, there's something that did happen. We just haven't seen it.
I mean, I told you guys last week, and I got choked up when they first like saw each other, and she's up on the tower, and she finally sees him.
Yeah, but you never got the moment. You never got the moment where they're both fine and in the same room together.
Yeah,
I mean,
they can like just
so
even,
much
even just hug each other or something. Yeah,
we've had so much stock in these like fake Glenn deaths. We had two fake Glenn deaths, and now it's like. Okay, well, come on. The whole reason we want Glenn to live is so he and Maggie can be together forever.
So, like, Maggie's going to have the baby because she's pregnant. And then what, is Enid going to be, like, the de facto babysitter, like, sort of aunt?
Carol's too much of a badass to do it now, so
older
maybe.
Sister or something like that?
I mean, Maggie's just future Enid, right? Like, they're...
Yeah, are we going to have two babies on the show now? We're going to have...
You have to get to the point that the baby's actually born. So you got you got time where that could get messed up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, I would love if that
we're really
you know,
positive people.
Because I mean, half of me is like, let's not do a baby again. We've already done a baby, and that was like that's literally so stressful.
You want Maggie to lose the kid? That's what you're saying.
No, I just wish it wasn't like
don't,
a thing.
Trust me, I'm not saying you're
I'm just
saying that.
Like, I still Judith is always in the back of my mind throughout every single episode. I'm always like, if we don't see Judith, I'm like, oh no, where's Judith? And if we see too much of Judith, I'm like, oh no, why are we seeing so much of Judith? Like, I never feel comfortable.
I mean, I have like a really dark prediction.
you can say
let's go for it.
I mean, if you want it.
Do you want to save it for predictions?
Is it spoiler-y or is it just predict? Is it, I mean, just go
let's,
for it.
Let's just say one baby in, one baby out in the same episode.
Oh, jeez.
Like, because if you're going to make an impact without doing one thing, like the other thing would be...
Oh, Steven, don't even say that.
I'm sorry. Like, it's really dark.
Dark,
it's really
Steven.
Dark. Yeah.
Welcome back to the panel, Steven.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's kill babies.
I keep forgetting which channel we're on. We're on AMC here.
All right, so Carl and Enid, I want to talk about that for a minute. It sort of seems like they picked back up where they left off a little bit when they had, like, a little bit of romance before Ron was sort of in the fold. Mm-hmm. And then Enid ran away and Carl kind of lost out on that. And now he has one eye and she is back in town. She's kind of reintegrated. And so they're out there. He's reading Invincible, which is funny to anybody. That's Robert Kirkman's other comic book.
I had a feeling it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the one where you saw the in Sam's room the little action figures. Those were Invincible figures.
Yeah.
Too,
so. I mean, he's written a ton of comic books, but when they launched Walking Dead, it was like that and Invincible were his two big books that he got mm-hmm. super famous from. So it's funny that he's reading that. But they're out there, and he says to her at some point, like, she says to him, "I don't want to come out here anymore." So was this to suggest that for a couple weeks they had been going out there and sort of like being angsty and teenage mm-hmm. and flirty, and she's like, I'm over this? That's what you guys are getting at?
I mean, I had the feeling that this was the first time they've been out there, because they walked up and they were like, oh, it got rained on or something, and they said, okay, let's hope that it's the other stuff's fine, right?
So maybe she was like, I want to stay in town. I don't want to come outside the walls anymore. Is that
yeah, that was yeah. Well, that was definitely what she was going at.
Got it.
But no, there was a balloon that had floated and had a message with it. And that was what they were picking up.
Got it.
That's how I interpreted that.
I just feel like there's no way Carl is not in excruciating pain still. So I don't know how in 2 weeks he's already like going out multiple times. I felt like this was the first time they went out.
Okay. Got it.
He seemed like totally fine.
Yeah.
It was a little weird that they time jumped us. And
his mentality was a little different though. Cause she's like, well, why are we doing this? And he goes, because we're kids, that's what they do. So he's saying we're kids, but he's not identifying as this is what we do. It's what kids are supposed to do kind of thing. I thought that was interesting.
And he hasn't been mentally scarred enough to have like a very discernible different outlook on the world yet. Like he hasn't, you know what I mean?
Well, he did kill his mom.
Right. I mean, I just mean that he now has one eye, is probably in excruciating pain, and is like, childlike mind, sort somewhat deformed. His attitude didn't seem as different as I was expecting.
Was everyone
just
really bummed that he wasn't
really
the one?
Quick. Yeah. Everybody's saying 2 months, not 2 weeks.
Two months.
That's what is. Yes, people are. Everyone is literally saying.
Maybe
that.
Actually, maybe it was. I mean, like, I actually thought Judith looked a lot older in the episode today.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's two, I'm sorry if I misheard that. I apologize, guys. But yeah, that sounds about more right. So maybe they have been out a few times. I still think he's struggling.
Apparently they said so on Talking Dead.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I swear somebody said 2 weeks in the show, but maybe they're mentioning something else.
Yeah, we're unable to watch Talking Dead because it premieres immediately after this.
Right now.
And we walk in here and do this.
Do you guys, just wondering about last week, was there a lot of talk about it being bummed that Carl didn't die?
No, the chat wasn't too crazy about that. I think that there was just like a general... Last week's episode was as close to a 10 out of 10, I think, as this show has ever gotten from fan rating.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely pretty well-loved.
Okay, because I know that Carl doesn't get a whole lot of love, usually.
No, but I do feel like his character, he's been around so long, and I think that his sensibilities are going to change, gradually. I mean, just growing up. I mean, from being, he's like an actual, he's going to go beyond being an angsty kid into teenager, into a teenager, into, like, young adult at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like what they're doing with him, so I think that's great.
And also, like, we don't want Rick to be sad. Like, if Carl dies, then we have to deal with, like, sad Rick, and that sucks.
Totally. And I also, like, this is something I was starting to notice.
No.
About the,
you've been practicing that. You've definitely practiced that.
The whole, like,
that was not your first time.
The whole relationship between Carl with Rick, and then Rick and Michonne, which we'll get to in just a second here, but it feels earned to some degree that they feel like a more of a surrogate family now, which we've been watching the show for so long, right? And they've tried at times to make us feel like this group is the core group and who's part of the core group and all that. We've watched so much of it now.
That's where the 2 weeks came from. Okay, sorry about that. Michonne's been staying with Rick for 2 weeks now.
Got it.
Okay.
She's been using his toothpaste for 2 weeks. Okay. That's where I got the timeline from. So that was...
Is there any other place that would have told us how long it would have been? Or were we just kind of supposed to, like, sometime in the near future?
I mean, we all take our notes, and if I had heard something, I think I would have probably marked it down.
Okay.
The phrase that Maggie said to Enid was, we've been working on this for a few weeks to rebuild the walls,
yeah,
and you haven't been around, so...
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fair. But I guess my only point here is that I genuinely feel like the relationships and the sense of family that we're getting from some of these characters, it feels earned now, which is nice, because it...
But did you feel like we ever thought they weren't? Like,
yeah.
I feel like Michonne has kind of been a surrogate kind of aunt, mother kind of figure for a long time, and we didn't have to get beat over the head to like mm-hmm. like in the, we kind of did in today's episode.
Yeah, I mean, she always protected Carl and everything like that as if she was the aunt anyway. It's not like there was ever a separation on that side. She always, once she was in, she's been in full board.
But not just Michonne. Like, I'm talking about the whole thing. So if Maggie and Glenn, and they sort of adopt Enid, let's just say, to some degree.
Sure.
Enid becomes, like, their surrogate daughter. The family sense that we're getting from the show comes from the fact that Rick, as the top of the totem pole, has sort of made the decision now that we're going to live a life. We're going to actually be... We're going to welcome people. We're going to act as a family. We're going to respect mm-hmm. each other. We can live a life now. And I think it's reflected in those relationships in the way that I can perceive them as a fan, personally. I believe them more now. Less like everybody is ultimately expendable except for yourself. And more like, we're a family. You take care of your family.
And this is probably the episode where we did need to do stuff like that because we've cleaned everything up and we're ready to move on and stuff like that.
Can I just ask a question? Do you think Rick and Michonne are... more, is it a love thing or is it just the necessity for comfort thing?
Sure.
Because that's my question. Is this like a I love you or is this a we're comforting each other because everything has just gone to hell right now?
Well,
what's the difference?
I got two initial responses because we have a few minutes left, so we should definitely try to cover as much of Rick and Michonne for that time as we possibly mm-hmm. can, because that's obviously the bomb that drops at the end of this. And they tease it at the very beginning of the episode, right? Did you guys all get the
using my toothbrush?
Yeah, they're using the toothpaste, yeah.
And you're kind of looking around, you're like, okay, there's been a time jump, she's in a robe, did we miss something? Is this where we're at now? They tease it, they give it to us at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
See, my feeling is like, well, okay, two things. Number one, and we'll just, this isn't even a spoiler. I'll just say spoiler because I'm going to say something from the comics, but not something that's a spoiler. They shift characters over, as we've said before. So there is a sense that I have that this is a bit of a character shift moment from another character, and that would explain what they're doing. Yeah. As far as the show goes, not the comic books, I feel like Rick's outlook on the world has changed. And that's that's reflected in a lot of places. So the way that he was so sort of willingly and openly able to just like do this thing with Michonne, which feels like maybe a little forced to some people. I know you guys had expressed that you felt it was a little forced.
I liked it.
2 months makes a lot more sense.
I just think my point is this.
I'm just a pervert. I just want people to kiss on screen all the time.
No, like my problem with it is he, for the first time after Laurie died, opened up to Jesse. That's a huge, huge step. And now, whether it's 2 weeks or 2 months or whatever the time frame, to all of a sudden already be shacking up with somebody else, that it doesn't feel like... I feel like he would be too nervous to start being with somebody else at this point.
You had a good rebuttal to that.
My point is this, that I think that Rick, the way that he sees the world now, is like, look, we're in this world, we take care of each other, we're family. However, people do die. It's what happens. It's the way of the world. So I opened up to Jesse. I started to feel for Jesse. Now Jesse's gone. If I feel this for Michonne, I'm not going to stop myself. I'm essentially the leader of this group. She's the leader. I trust her. And there's something happening here. I'm just going to go with it. Because
no more playing it cool. We don't have time to play it cool.
And she is sort of the surrogate mother in the family now. And so I think that's why I think it doesn't seem weird to me. To me, it's like Rick's just like, I'm comfortable with you. You're here. Let's do this. Let's do this.
I mean, she has definitely been the surrogate. She's been
never do that again.
She's been parenting Carl ever since the beginning, as well as when she got that horrifying piece of artwork and Carl ate the big gallon can of chocolate pudding.
Right.
I think it's also, it might even just be everyone I get close to dies. This is somebody I've been around for a long time and hasn't died. This is somebody I've built a connection with
and
that
she doesn't
hasn't
seem
died.
To be going to go anywhere.
She doesn't
she
seem
can
to
take
be dying.
Care of herself.
Yeah.
She can handle herself. Laurie could not. Laurie couldn't even drive on a road with nobody else.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with Laurie being dead.
I mean, yeah, there's to some degree he's like the alpha male and there's like a respect thing. I do think that also though, I think that they have this need with this show to always have a 1A and a 1B. Kind of feels that way. Like, even from the beginning, if you have, like, Rick and Shane, at various times in the show, for a minute there, it was, like, Rick and Tyrese. Sometimes it'll be Rick and Daryl. It's Rick and Michonne, for sure, at times. It feels like maybe Michonne is about to just become Rick's consistent 1B. Like, she'll be for the foreseeable future. I mean, also, Jesus is now in the fold, so you're like, I wonder if, going forward, if he's going to kind of become the 1B.
Camaraderie.
I think he needs to earn it. It's going to take a long time
before
he can get
up to that
point. I think, that's why I like Jesus so much, because I think he's our new prison, or he's our new place, you know what I mean? He's kind of taking that place by really shifting that dynamic.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really excited. Since we haven't moved locations, we're still getting a big kind of shake-up, and I think
Jesus
that's really cool.
Jesus is our new place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that with Rick and Michonne, that the fallout from this is going to be a moment where they wake up and Do you think Rick's going to freak out, or do you think Michonne's going to freak out, or do you think they're just going to go with it?
I don't really see them either. Like, Michonne doesn't seem like, she's not like the type to be like, oh, what have I done? You know, I think she'll be fine.
What about Rick? Do you think he's going to be like, I can't do this again kind of a thing? Or?
No, I think that's what we're saying. I think maybe he's actually just chosen Michonne because she's a safe bet.
Yeah, right.
That sounds so bad to say.
She's a safe bet.
I think they're sowing the seeds to have a really terrible breakup and split between the two. I think that Rick has bounced back so many times, but Elastic can only last so long. And I think if anything was to happen to Judith, or if anything was to happen to, like, Glenn or Maggie or somebody in the immediate closeness of him, if he goes back to that style of we don't need people, if he goes back to what he was at the beginning of the season where Michonne was disagreeing with him,
yeah,
and somebody else was involved that Michonne agreed with, it could split them, and it could cause a huge rift in the group.
We haven't really had any drama revolving around, like, relationships like that, really, recently. Like, I mean, I remember, like, when Lori was, you know, hooking up with Shane, and that was kind of like a...
Yeah.
That was, like, maybe the more soap opera-y kind of drama that we've had, so I wonder if we'll get some of that.
I mean, this is survival of the fittest, is exactly what this is. Like, she's the last remaining person, like, of the opposite sex that Rick is into that can hold her own, that, like, that's what's happened.
Even if you were the last woman on earth.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, she can actually hold her own. Like, from a level of respect, I mean, that's who Rick has ended up with, because he just tried to, like, shack up with somebody.
He's just sick of like, loving people who keep dying.
Yeah, he tried to take care of somebody else, like Lori, who, like, couldn't really take care of herself, and then she got eaten by a zombie because she wasn't strong enough to, like, actually live in that world.
I don't know.
Lori didn't get eaten by a zombie?
Yeah, but, I mean,
she just got pregnant.
I put the blame on the kid. The kid's what messed it up.
Ron or the
no, yeah, Ron. Sam.
Ron and Sam, they both did. They were both assholes to begin with.
I know, right?
I gotta tell you, I even liked Jesse. I really did. Yeah. But I was actually happy to see... I was ready for them to go.
I'm happy with Rick and Michonne. Let's talk about what we think is going to happen going forward, guys. I would like to get into
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah, exactly. So, who wants to go first? Steven already predicted the most grim thing that's ever happened on the show.
some red wedding baby, stuff baby over murder. There, man.
I mean, I'll do a quick one at the end, but I want a spoiler alert before mine because I want to mention comics.
Okay.
Why don't we just give a spoiler alert right now?
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Because my
spoiler alert.
I mean, I'm sorry. My prediction spoiler has alert. A
yeah.
has a comic reference in it.
No problem.
I think that they're not going to go the direction we think they are with all the foreshadowing they've been doing with one certain character. I think the person that is killed as a what is it? Setting example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that Lucille takes out Judith.
No. Holy crap. It's Daryl.
It's definitely Daryl.
Definitely Daryl.
100% Daryl. I would bet a decent amount of money. Like, Vegas probably has odds on this because it's such a big show now. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if there wasn't odds somewhere, but I think it's totally Daryl.
I don't think they could, like, as dark as this show has gone, I don't think you could baseball bat a baby.
Yeah.
I can't see them even trying to get away with that.
Okay, well, it might not be Lucille, but you never know.
I can't see it. They let the baby be born.
Yeah.
Now you're kind of stuck with the kid.
Well, and also remember that if you're going to go back to the comics, which is, I'm glad we're in spoiler zone, the baby dies in the comics way long ago. Like,
a baby's never born because Lori was pregnant. Or the baby was born and she was carrying the baby.
She's carrying the baby when she gets shot. I mean, the baby gets massacred in the comics. So.
I didn't know any of this and I'm so bummed.
I'm not saying it has to be like that scene with this setting example. I'm just saying, like, if there was one thing to push Rick back to that point of no return, it's going to be somebody carrying the baby and getting shot like they did in the book, or it's going to be, I mean, Lucille, it could be.
I don't know.
I'm going to go really dark on this prediction. I'm sorry.
You're sticking with Lucille.
I'm sticking with Lucille
on the baby. All right, Quinn, what do you got?
I really don't want Judith to die. I'm sorry. That would so bum me out. But I think I'm having a little bit of troubles with predictions lately, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a double-edged sword for me because I'm not a comic book reader.
Yeah.
And especially with last episode being pretty close to, as I've read, that they were pretty close to the book. At this point, I can guess something And everyone who's read the books will be like, you're so off base.
But I'm telling you, this is what's so interesting, is they've been spoon-feeding us so much of the stuff from the comics. Mm-hmm. It's so close to the comics.
Okay.
And they're playing to that audience that, like, for the writers to just keep doing it is too obvious. I think you're going
to
still have...
They have to switch certain things up. They absolutely have to.
Well, I mean, as I said, like, it's... Andrea is still alive and a very important character at this point in the story in the comics. She's a totally different character. Like, Daryl doesn't exist. I mean, it's a whole different animal. So when you start to involve these characters that don't exist, you can character shift or you have to just write new material.
Sure. I'm ready for a visual shift. So if we could leave Alexandria at some point this season or early next, I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Sometime soon. I want to get to just a different, somewhere else visually. I think we've seen enough woods. I'm ready for something a little different, I think.
Yeah. What do you got, Jen?
I think the biggest thing is we need to see how they are rediscovered by the Saviors. That's the biggest thing, because in theory, the Saviors that were killed there's no way that anybody was going to know how that happened. They would just come across a bunch of, you know, smoldering corpses and motorcycles on the highway. So there needs to be some sort of interaction.
Didn't they leave one of those guys alive?
No, they all blew up.
Yeah, they all got exploded.
Oh, I thought they left one alive to go back and tell the rest.
Nope.
Should have done that.
No. Why would they want to do that?
Yeah, you don't want to
warn
let them know
say
that.
Rick Grimes says, "What up, motherfucker?"
That's exactly what you don't want.
No, you definitely don't want that. And I, you know, we talk about the character shift from what did happen in the comics versus now. Jesus may be the character shift that allows those two groups to be connected.
Got it.
I'm not saying he's a savior, but there's something about him that somehow connects back to them, and that's what leads to the incident we're all expecting at the end of the year.
Do you think that was, like, super on purpose to be like, I'm Jesus, and he's, like, in a cross stance?
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure that...
I mean, that was probably just a joke.
It's a joke, yeah. I mean, I think... Yeah, I guess that's a tough one. My prediction is probably... I don't think we're going to meet Negan until the end of the season. I think we will meet him, but I don't even know if it's going to be... If the epic ending that we're all expecting...
Oh, it's ending with somebody's head getting bashed in. Throw up an extra spoiler alert really quick.
Extra, extra, extra spoiler.
I think I need to close my ears too. Go ahead.
Spoiler alert!
Footage that is being leaked.
Oh, don't say this.
It does not show a person, but it shows a Lucille scene.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So okay, thank it, you it, for it
does,
not...
No, I would have like... told you to leave the room.
They could
be
shooting.
They
could be shooting stuff for next season. I mean, that could be.
And
how
they could
it
be.
Opens
they could
season.
Honestly be shooting a flashback scene. Like, you never know.
So, but we all admit, we all agree that we're ready for someone big to go.
Okay, real quick, next character to die. Character to die, Ben
Spencer.
Next character to die, John.
I mean, I guess it comes to big. For me, big is the main group. And for me, the main group is Daryl. He's the next one.
If you're jumping to the core family,
yeah.
If you're talking the core group,
Daryl.
I think I'm there too.
I think it's. I was not talking about core group, but
that's
I think
big.
It's the Latina girl,
Rosita.
Rosita.
Oh yeah.
Nah, she's gonna survive.
You need to build her up a little bit more before you whack her again.
I love Denise.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Denise and Tara. Oh my
I
god,
gotta
that,
tell
was,
you,
that was an important
I
piece.
I think Denise is such a wonderfully three-dimensional character. She rings so true to me on so many levels, and I hope she stays forever.
She loves orange soda.
Yeah,
she doesn't like shotgun somebody else.
She may, or may not love orange soda. We don't know if she actually does.
She's getting.
Who loves orange soda?
Pop.
Tara loves orange soda. She do.
I actually really like that scene with her and Daryl. It made me laugh. I wish we had talked about that. That's good, because that's the second time they've alluded to that relationship. It's only twice they've mentioned it now. Really?
They kissed?
I mean, they're a relationship. We know they're a relationship.
That's the first time. Yeah, I just mean, like, that she's a relevant character, and that's a relevant relationship, and we just completely forgot that it happened. Damn. It's okay. Next week.
We just talked about it.
All right. We covered it.
That's
going to wrap it up for tonight's episode, guys. So thank you so much for tuning in. We will be here same time, same place. Next weekend, watching The Walking Dead. And then I believe when this wraps, Fear the Walking Dead takes the same slot, right?
April 11th, Fear the Walking Dead.
I think so. This will wrap, and I believe that picks up immediately after. So stick with us doing an entire Walking Dead spring and summer.
I'm probably not going to be back for that one.
All right.
I don't like that
show. Didn't like that show. No. Fair enough. Well, where can the people find you in the meantime?
The John Carl on Twitter and Instagram, and Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
Excellent. Quinn?
You guys can find me at Quinn Skillion on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram, and you can search for me on Vine at the Quinn Bee.
Quinstagram is clever. Steven?
You guys guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHNLAMIOX, and be sure to check out the Popcorn Talk for all your movie discussion needs, from Jedis to Marvel to DC to anything, movie reviews you need at the Popcorn Talk.
If you like action movies, I do an action movie talk show on that network, and my name is Ben Baton. You can find me at Ben Baton Media. We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.